quid. Yeah. Shall I find out tomorrow? Just remember to say you're on Shepherd Lodge. Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph, the 9th of February, Rabbi Avi Hill, Sadoka Tatzil Mimoves. And today's shiur is dedicated Le'ini Nishmas, Rabbi Mordechai Ben Rav Avrom, Zichrono Livracha.
And the mitzvah stoka. It states in Mishlei twice, stoka tatzim limoves. Two pesukim in Mishlei. And the Gemara Baba Basra Daf Yud asks, why do we need two pesukim that charity saves from death, stoka tatzim limoves? And the Gemara says, because not only does it save us from Gehenna, it also saves us from Olam Hazeh. It saves us in Odom Haba and in Odom Hazeh. So straight away on the page, Tosfos asks, I don't understand. Why do you still need two psukim? In other words, it's enough to say Tzadok HaTzal Mimoves. And then if it's going to save you in Odom Haba, Kol Shekin is going to save you in Odom Hazeh, you need two psukim to teach you one for Olam Haba, one for Olam Hazeh. So listen to Tosfos, and it shows us the chashivas of the mitzvah of Stoka. He says that normally, when we do a mitzvah, a keren kayem is Olam Haba. The gain, the profit, isn't going to be in Olam Haba, but it doesn't help us necessarily in Olam Hazeh. He says, apart from Ella, in Eindim La'otam Ella mitzvahs gedoilos, the mitzvahs gedoilos, such as Stoka, can actually even help us in this world too, and it can be Matzeles Mimisa in this world too. It's a gross achivish. You know, there's a famous Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, in Perek Tes, which really explains how it works, that generally we say, from the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Tes, Scham Mitzvah B'Hayam Melecha, we hold like Rabbi Yaakov, who says we don't get reward for our mitzvahs in this world. Ask the Rambams, then how do we understand all the psukim in the Torah that says, if you do my mitzvahs, then I'll make it rain in your time, and you'll have peace, all the psukim like that. And the Rambam says an amazing thing. The Rambam says that your reward is an Olam Haba. That the peiros, as the Mishnah says, meaning the means that enables you to continue to do HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs, that you can gain from doing mitzvahs. So for example, with mitzvah. So now we see with Stoka something very amazing. We see that when we give our Maisa, when we give our Stoka, even though many will hold us up to a Chomesh, even up to 20%, it will never detract it from your finances in this world. What it does is, forget, it enables you to then receive the other 80% or 90%. It's a means to enabling you to do parnasa. And that answers a big question. And the Siva Shalom asks a beautiful question. Gemara Baba Basra says that mitzvah stoka is shkula keneged kol mitzvahs. It's so huge, stoka, it's tantamount to all the other mitzvahs together. So again, it's a big pillar. You wouldn't have thought that. In Shabbos we can understand. Stoker, that's equivalent to the whole Torah. And the Gemara goes on later to say, forget, that's the thing which will bring the Geula. That's the mitzvah that brings the Geula. Stoker. She says in the Siva Shalom, a very beautiful thing. There's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos. It says, Tein loy mishaloy. Sha'atzo v'shelcho sheloy. That everything's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nosan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu lokach. So one way to look at Stoka is it's not our money. It's not our money. We're holding it on. We're holding HaKadosh Baruch Hu's money for him. So when we understand that, it makes it a lot easier. It says in the Siddur Shalom, those who can give stocking well, it's actually in the soil in Emuna. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, L'chol mitzvisecha Emuna, all the mitzvahs Emuna. But very much so, it says in the Siddur Shalom, is the mitzvah stocker. Stocker is mamish Emuna.
Yeah.
Because, how do we, A, whose money is it? You know, Rav Moshe says that today's Avodah Zarah is money. Our pursuits and our love for money. So it's getting rid of our idols to be able to say, no, you can have, and you can have, and you can have. It's hard. It's probably one of the hardest nisyonos. You know, to give a few pennies is one thing, but to actually give where it might hurt, that's actually in the stone in the munas, says the Nesiv HaShalom. And that's why it says the Nesiv HaShalom, it's the ultimate mitzvah, because it's a barometer for how you're marmin. So I'd like to tell you a few halachas in from Yerid Deya, in Reish Nun Aleph, Sivkot Nun Dalet, is the Makara for some practical halachas in Staka. But the first place we really need to go to is the Rambam. There's a famous Rambam, I made a bracha earlier. There's a famous Rambam in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, in Perek Yud, where he explains the 8 levels of Staka. I'm sure many of you know it. There's 8 ways, it's like a ladder. There's the lowest level, and the lowest level is someone gives, but you don't really want to give. You really don't want to give. But you pretend you want to give. It's very interesting. I think that Bizman Azeh, the Fianu Society, actually there's a 9th level. There's a lower level than that now, because I've seen it time and time again. You know, the Rambam talks about where you don't want to give, but you pretend you're happy to give. Now I see very often where we don't even pretend. Where you give, and you know, you don't want to give, and you tell the person you don't want to give, and it is very clear, but you give. So that's, unfortunately, time and time again, if you look around, how many people give staka, and they're quite rude about it. They even tell them off. And hey, just take. So there's a 9th level now, unfortunately. But the Rambam's talking about, at least you're pretending to give, but inwardly you don't want to give. And then as it goes up, what's really important is the notion of giving anonymously. The ultimate, the second highest level is to get to a place where you don't know who you're giving to, but more important, they don't know it's coming from you, and thereby they're not embarrassed. And that's why if you can ever find a scenario where you can give, and that's why to give to a Cooper of Stocker is fantastic, to give to a Gubber. You know, I think the Stocker in Golders Green here, Woodstock, do amazing work. And that, I don't know if you're aware, I mean, maybe, you know, they actually go with envelopes in the middle of the night and put envelopes in doors. And no one knows where it's coming from, who it's going to. And it's mamish that second level of stocker to give anonymously. It's an amazing Maaseh Shehaya, which when I was in Krakow, someone took me to this spot. It was the time of the Tosfos Yom Tov in the 17th century. And in the Tosfos Yom Tov Kehillah in Krakow, there was a famous gvir called Yosela, and he was known as being the ultimate miser. It's called Yosela the Miser. But he was a gvir who was one of the wealthiest men in Krakow, but he wouldn't give staka. He just wouldn't give it. And all Aniyim would try coming to his home, time and time again they would try and come to his home. And this is what happened. It was a really bizarre scenario. He would invite them into his house. He would sit them down at the table and would take a pen and paper, start writing down their name, where they lived, how many members of their family, how much they needed. But then something would come over him. He would start shouting at them, "How dare you coming to me and taking my money away? Who do you think I am? You know, why should I give you money? Go and get a job." And he would throw them out of the house. And they would be really embarrassed. He would throw them out, one after the other. But you know what? The Aniyim was so desperate. Everyone would still try their luck, and maybe one day he'll be in a good mood. And one would try, another would try, but they were all broken, and he embarrassed so many people. And he was known as Yosela the Miser, and famously what happened was when he was on his deathbed, the Chevra Kadisha came to him, and the Chevra Kadisha said, We want to bury you, but you haven't even paid for your burial. And you can pay more than anyone in this town. We're not going to bury you unless you pay. And Yosla said, I'll bury myself. I'm not paying. And they said, we're telling you, we're not going, don't blame us afterwards. We're not going to bury you. It's your last chance. He goes, I will bury myself. And that's it. They left the room. A few hours later, he was niftar. 3 days later, he's still unburied. And he was getting to Shabbos. And the Tosfos Yom Tov, all of a sudden, is getting queues of people outside his door. Saying, Shabbos coming, we've got no food to eat. So someone said, Gavalt, you know, where have you been till now? It was one, two, three, the towns on the inn were coming to the Tosfos Yom Tov saying, we've got no food to eat for Shabbos. And he was really bamboozled. He didn't understand what happened. And he slowly started talking to the Onim and saying, tell me, like, why this Shabbos? Like, why can't you pay for your Shabbos food this week? And they said, I don't know, Baruch Hashem, for the past few years, we've been getting envelopes through our door with money for Shabbos. And we've been able. This year, nothing's come. So this week, nothing's come. Erev Shabbos, nothing's come. We waited for an hour, 2 hours, nothing's come. Another Oni, and the Tosfos Yom Tov was really confused, and he starts speaking to them. And all of a sudden, it dawns on the Tosfos Yom Tov, there's this guy called Yossel the Miser, who's been Nifter. And he starts speaking to the Oni, and did you ever go to that Yossel the Miser? And I said, of course, everyone goes there. We went to him, and we sat down, and he took our names, and he took our address, and he took our family members, and he threw us out. Each one of them had been to Yossel the Miser. And obviously, the Tosfos Yom Tov understood that this Yossel the Miser wasn't such a miser. In fact, he was being Yotze, the Rambam's higher level of stocker, to give anonymously. And then he's thinking, Gavalt, it's a Meis Mitzvah, we haven't buried him. What are we going to do? We've got to bury this Yossel the Miser, and we've got to ask for Mechila. And they quickly went. And they went and they took him and they buried him in Krakow, in the caver in Krakow, by a tree. And then he went to the shul and he opened the Oren and he asked the whole sibyl to come. He says he opened the Oren HaKodesh and he made a fast day. It says he davened in front of the Oren. And the story goes, it says it was Yom Tov. At the end of that, he went and told the sibyl that during that tefillah, he had a vision of Yosef the Miser. He asked for Mechila. Yosef the Miser said, it's my fault, don't worry. I'm the one who set this up. He said, don't worry. I've been with Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu and Yaakov Avinu. They've been with me. And he was then buried in the cemetery in Krakow. It's right by the Tosfos Yom Tov. And if you go to the Shul of the Ramah, right there, the cave there, you'll actually see the grave of Yossel the Miser. So Mamish and Miser Shahaya of how to fulfill that is from the Rambam. Probably I wouldn't recommend it personally to go Ad Kedei Kach, but the idea of giving staka when people don't know it's you is a beautiful thing. Says Yeridei Azoi, there's actually a priority list, and it's really based on the Pasuk in Devarim, which sets it up in terms of who you're meant to give to. But says Yeridei, first of all is yourself. You first of all got to look after your family. Charity begins at home. You've got to make sure your family are looked after. And then from after your family, after Kravim, he goes through of spouse and children and parents and then relatives and then cousins and then friends and neighbors. So because it says Ircha, so it's got to be Ircha Koidmin. And after that, you go to Yerushalayim. Then it's Daf Yerushalayim, which is your spiritual home, your Ruchnius home. And after Yerushalayim, then Eretz Yisrael. And after Eretz Yisrael, then after where, then everywhere. So that's one area of priority. But then, we see the next area of priority, says Yeridei, which is amazing. The highest level of staka, of what to give to, is Pidyon Shvuim. See, Pidyon Shvuim is like everything else. That's the first thing to do. Which is amazing. It's not just Pikuach Nefesh. It's obviously the terror they're going through. And he makes it very clear that a woman first, even. If there's a choice between a man or a woman, we point at a woman first. But the thing I've always thought about, and I don't know the answer to this, is in Eretz Yisrael, when they redeem soldiers, the shaila is, what price? In other words, if it's a scenario where to release Gilad Shalit, you've got to release 1,000 terrorists, and that could chalila put more of Klal Yisrael in danger, how do you make that decision? I don't know what the Gedolim hold about that, but one story we do know is the famous story of the Maamar of Rottenberg. So the Maamar of Rottenberg was in Germany, and he famously was on his way to Eretz Yisrael, and he was caught by a Yid, who then went and massed on him, and he was captured, and they wanted a ransom, and straight away the Kehillah wanted obviously pay, and they raised up to 23,000 marks, and the Maharam made a famous psalm, says, Chas v'shalom, don't release me, because if I'm released, then anyone is danger, they'll know that the Yidden, that's what you do to make money, just go and capture a Yid and you'll start going to gain money from, so everyone will be in danger. And famously, he died in prison, and he gave shiurim in prison, he wrote sforim in prison, and then, Rahman al-Islam, it wasn't enough, they held him when he was alive, they held him when he was dead too, and for 14 years, they held on to his body, and finally, a Yid called Alexander went and paid the ransom. Al Sinai, that he was buried next to him. And in the Caver and Worms, he's buried next to the Maamar of Rottenberg, one of the Baalei Tosfos. And it is interesting, because now, in light of that, so how do we know when that applies and when the halacha applies that the Pidyon Shvuim is before anything else? So that's Pidyon Shvuim. Then after Pidyon Shvuim, Yeridei then explains it's then Pikuach Nefesh. After Pikuach Nefesh, then Oniyim, then Torah, and the Cheskas HaTorah, keeping Torah going. It's funny, I was giving this year last night to a group of people that aren't showing me Torah mitzvahs, and they don't value Torah. And when we got to this, obviously they got very upset, because, you know, are you telling me I've got to pay for a yeshiva more than I've got to pay in a hospital and pay for people who are going through a lot of pain? Good question. So, B'Siyata D'Shmaya, we explain like this. We explain that if we don't look after Klal Yisrael, and if we're not in a good place, there'll be no stocker to give in 100 years, in 200 years, in 300 years. We're not going to be able to be noisne tzedakah, to be an Ora LaGoyim. In this scenario, we're not looking after the world of Torah and continuing the Mesorah. That goes without saying. That needs to be there. That needs to be strong. And from that standpoint, then from that point, we need to be noisne tzedakah. You see an amazing thing. We see that when we give tzedakah, and as I said, 10%, some say up to a chaymesh, up to 20%, if there's any billionaires in the room, you can give a lot more than that. But generally, we say it's between 10 and 20%. By doing that, it will never come to harm us. There's a pasuk in the Torah which says, you should never test HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Apart from in this case, this is one exception to when we're allowed to test HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's in the area of tzedakah, because he makes us a promise that you'll never be financially harmed by giving, and in that scenario we're allowed to give. There's a famous story in 1906. There was a wealthy gevir in America called Nathan Strauss, and I'm sure many of you have maybe been into the big shop called Macy's in New York. He was a co-founder of Macy's. He was a big vet. And him and his brother, Isidore, were offered an amazing opportunity in 1906. They were offered the opportunity of helping the Oniyim in Yerushalayim. At that time, there was terrible poverty in Yerushalayim. And they were offered an opportunity, can you do anything to help? And they had a big argument. Isidore was like, they should all get jobs, that's not our problem. And Nathan, no, we have to help, we've got to do something to help. Let's set up a soup kitchen. And Nathan set up a soup kitchen in Yerushalayim. And a few years later, in 1912, he was going to go and see it. So him and his brother go into the soup kitchen for the first time. And they're still arguing. Isidore's like, ugh, what a waste of money. And Nathan, Baruch Hashem, we've helped hundreds and hundreds of people. We're feeding them on a daily basis. But then something very bizarre happened. He fell over in the soup kitchen and broke his leg. And in those days, to break your leg was pretty serious. And that was it. In hospital for 2 months.
Nathan.
And Nathan is now in hospital. And he can't understand. First of all, stop the tatsil mimalbis. And at the very least, don't break my leg. And he can't understand. He's missed a whole very important business meeting. That his brother Isidore has now gone back to England to take the boat to go to America. And he's missed his business meeting. And he's so broken. Until he finds out what happened. 1912, on April the 12th, he was meant to be on Titanic. Nathan Strauss was meant to be on Titanic. And tragically, his brother and his family died. And when Nathan's in hospital in Eretz Yisrael, his life was saved. As a result of Tzedakah, Tatzel Mimobes, Mamish, Boilam Hazeh, also. He was so inspired, he gave 2/3 of his wealth to Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, many of you have been probably in the town of Netanya, which was named after Nathan Strauss. Many of you have been in Meshram to Rehov Strauss, which was named after Nathan Strauss, who became one of the biggest gevurim ever to give to Eretz Yisrael. And Mamish, and Maisa Shehoya, the Tzedakah Tatzel Mimobes. Because as we explained, it's Bo'ilam Hazeh and Bo'ilam Haba. There's a Gemara in Shabbos that says, Rabbi Akiva had a daughter and was told by astrologers that on the day of her wedding, she's going to die. The day of her wedding, it's stating that in the mazal, she's going to die. And you know, what do you do as a father? You want your daughter to get married, but, you know, you're a bit nervous and you're a bit worried. And it was on the day of Achasna. The day of Achasna, she's there in her bridal chamber. And after the Suda, she goes to the bridal chamber and she puts her brooch on the wall. And the Gemara says that the brooch went and pierced the snake. It pierced the poisonous snake. And Punt killed the snake. Her life was saved. The snake could have killed her and her brooch killed the snake. And her father, Rabbi Akiva, said to her, what did you do that saved your life? You must have done something. Think. And I thought, I didn't have done nothing, I just got married, had a Suda. Because the only thing I can think about is I saw during the Suda that there was an Oni outside who had nowhere to eat. So I gave the Oni my meal. So Rabbi Akiva says, oh, Mamish, Tzedakah Tatzel Mimobes, the Gemara concludes. Tzedakah Tatzel Mimobes, it saves us. There's a rabbi in Denver. And the rabbi in Denver says the following story. Rabbi in Denver said that when he started a school in the Jewish primary school in Denver, and there was a huge philanthropist in the town. We'll call him today Max Steinberg. You know his name, but we'll call him Max Steinberg. And the rabbi was always trying to fundraise, and trying to fundraise from him. And this philanthropist, who was a billionaire, he just couldn't give. The very maximum he would ever give is $500. That was his highest check. Which probably, you know, for me and you, 5 pence. Him, $500, that was his maximum. And he's, even that he didn't give to the rabbi. The kid said, the rabbi gets a call from the school. And it's Max Steinberg on the phone. Max Steinberg says, you've got to come and see me. Right now. I'm in the hospital. Don't know how many hours I've got left. You've got to come and see me. And the rabbi was in school. And he said, you know what? This kid, Mitzvah Shem, set up the schools for years to come. And he left the school in the middle of the day. went off to the hospital, and he's now in the room with Max Steinberg. And Max Steinberg said, listen, I'm dying. I know Stocker Tatsum Mi Moves, and as we learned at the beginning, it's not only Moves in Olam Hazeh, it's Moves in Olam Habor as well. So I want to give you some Stocker. And he took out an envelope, and he gave it to the rabbi. And in front of him, the rabbi opened it up, and there was $500. So the rabbi said, you know what? There's a time to be chutzpahdik, and I think now's the time. And he went, and he said to Mr. Sinbi Gius, I understand, maybe, you know, a few years ago, there's a lot of things you can buy in this world. But Max, you're about to leave this world! You're about to go to Olam HaEmes. Now, for your sake, this is your chance. Stop it, Tatsun Limoves. At least give now. We can set up Denver. We can set up the From community for years and years with your help. What do you need your money for where you're going? And Max looked at him. And he had his fist tight. He goes, God. You're right. He couldn't do it. And the rabbi in Denver used to give this share time and time again about how it's hard for some people to give. And a few years later, a young woman who'd heard that share became a doctor in Johns Hopkins in Philadelphia. And she's there helping in the hospital, and this Israeli family come in with an 8-year-old child who was very ill, who needed a medical emergency where it would cost $40,000. They needed to raise in a few weeks $40,000. And she heard about the importance of this stock at Tatsun Limoves, and she knew there was a philanthropist in Philadelphia who had the means to help. So she thought, you know what? I'll send a letter to this philanthropist. We'll send him an urgent letter. And she sent this urgent letter telling the importance of stock at Tatsun Limoves, saying the scenario of who the family are. They haven't got the money, they need $30,000 to save this guy's life. Surely he's going to help. And she got a letter back a few weeks later saying, I'm very touched by your story, but there's nothing I can do to help. There's nothing I can do to help. So now she's upset. And she can't get over it. Another Max Steinberg. So this time she goes over to him. And she tells him the story of Max Steinberg. And she finishes off by saying, don't be that man. Don't be that man. And she left with a check of $40,000. And she left with that check of $40,000. So sometimes it takes a bit of time. To finish off with this one, an amazing Peleoitz. The Peleoitz on Stocker says, why is it the highest mitzvah? Because it's the hardest thing to do. It's almost like a korban. Yeah. It's like you're makriv something that's dear to you, and when you makriv it and give it to the Eibishter, that's how we can do korbonos bizman hazeh. So mitzvah Hashem, Stocker should protect us, protect Klal Yisrael, Mishenechas Adam Arvi Vesimcha, mitzvah Hashem Yishu Yizoycha, it's a month full of simcha.